Yeah. Okay. Open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 18. Verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now here, the believer is promised power to bind on earth and bind in heaven. The first thing you should do is ask yourself a question. What needs to be bound in heaven? What needs to be bound on earth? Well, here's the thing. Some of these translations are just squirrely. But literally, whatever you allow on earth will be allowed in heaven. And I'll give you the best example that I ever heard of was Kenneth Hagin was given a, he was telling about the time that he had an encounter with Jesus face to face. Jesus showed up and started talking to Kenneth. And all of a sudden the demon got in between Jesus and Kenneth and started just making a racket, and he couldn't understand what Jesus was saying. He couldn't hear him. And then finally, after a while, Kenneth finally got mad and said, "In the name of Jesus, get!" And that demon went, left. And Kenneth asked Jesus, said, "Why didn't you do something about that?" And Jesus said, "I couldn't." And Kenneth said, "Oh, I didn't hear you right." He said, "Why didn't you do something about that?" And Jesus said, "I couldn't." Kenneth said again, he said, I know I didn't hear you right. So why didn't you do something about that demon? And Jesus said, "I can't do something about those demons if you don't." See, if Kenneth would have allowed that demon to just do whatever he wanted to do, Jesus wouldn't have let him do that. That's what it means. Whatever you allow on earth will be allowed in heaven. See, a lot of people get frustrated with God and they wonder, why doesn't God do something? And we got to understand, God might be sitting there saying, why don't you do something about that? I gave you the name of Jesus. I gave you my word. I gave you the Holy Spirit. I gave you everything you need, and you won't do something about it. That's what it means. Whatever you allow on this earth will be allowed in heaven. Now, sometimes people just get on these crazy, crazy little tangents. And I actually ran into a couple ladies one time, and they said they had been flying in airplanes, binding things in the heavenlies. I thought, what on earth are you talking about? And they told me, said, well, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you bind in heaven will be bound on earth. So we've been up there binding the heavenlies. And I thought, okay, I'm going to just walk away. I'm just going to go away. You don't have to do that. You have authority. You have authority in three worlds. You have authority in heaven, you have authority on earth, and you have authority under the earth. That means you have authority over the demons, you have authority over the spirits, you have authority over everything that comes against you. You have authority over that. But if you don't take that authority and command that thing in the name of Jesus to leave, it's not going to leave. Always remember this. You don't have to be some super spiritual Holy Ghost hot rod to chase a demon away. All you have to do is remember John 14, verse 12, where Jesus said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." You tell that thing to go in the name of Jesus, Jesus makes sure that gets done. He does the doing. You do the asking, he does the doing. Jesus gave you the keys. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Keys are a symbol of authority. And here they mean authority and power to do the works of Christ. He gave you power and authority on this earth to do the works of Christ. That's what he means by giving you the keys to the kingdom. And that's why he can also say, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you allow on earth shall be allowed in heaven. See, if you don't do something, if you don't do something about your situation, Jesus won't. I mean, you're going to have to get your mouth in gear. You're going to say something anyway. You just will take the words of Christ and put them in the atmosphere. Tell these problems to go away. Remember, he told you to talk to your mountains. But too many people are sitting around talking about their mountains. Now, the thing about this, Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, go back there. We're talking about the power of united prayer, and that anything asked for by any two in agreement, it shall be done. Now this verse gets completely taken. People get crazy with this. It's talking about getting two or more people in agreement. I mean, they're agreeing on the same thing. They're talking about the same idea. They have the same goal. They're talking about getting there the same way. They're in agreement. That's what we're talking about, agreement. I heard a lot of praise and worship leaders get up and say, you know, there'd be 300 or 400 people in that building. And they'd get up there and say, wherever two or more people are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. Yeah, but they kind of took that scripture completely out of context. Because do you know how hard it is to get 500 people into agreement on the same thing? I mean, they agree on the same thing. You know, Jesus, you'd think that he would have a handle on getting people into agreement, wouldn't you? When he told 500 people to go to the upper room, there was about 250 people made it there. You know, he was surrounded by thousands of people. And out of those thousands of people, he told 500 people to go there. You know, he even narrowed his circle down to 70 that he sent out two by two. You know, he trusted these to go out and witness for him. He sent them out two by two. And he narrowed that down to a group of 12 that he called apostles. And they weren't in agreement. Not totally. And he took three of those off to the side when he went to the Mount of Transfiguration, when he went to the rock in the garden. He had three that he took with him there. And then when he was on the cross, his last order of business, he narrowed it down to his one, the disciple whom Jesus loved, and he adopted his mother to him and him to her, to his mother. So you see, it's really hard to really get two or three people in agreement on one thing. I've had people come up to me and say, "You need to agree with me in prayer." And I say, "Okay, what are we agreeing about? What are we praying about?" And they say, "Oh, you don't need to know, just pray in tongues." And I say, "Well, I'm not going to take part in that foolishness. You want me to pray the prayer of agreement with you, but you don't want me to know what we're praying about. Are you crazy?" And then we'll get groups of people gathered around to pray for somebody, and there'll be three or four of them there, and it'd be like a challenge. You know, somebody will say, "I need you to come agree with me." So they'll lay hands on somebody. The first guy will pray. Then the second guy will have a longer prayer. The third guy will have a longer prayer. The fourth guy will have a longer prayer. Finally, it's like the poor guy in the middle. He just wonders if you're ever going to shut up. I actually had a Word of Faith preacher ask me to come and agree with him in prayer. So I went out there, laid hands on the guy with him. He prayed a prayer that I wasn't even going to dare try to add anything to. And he got done, and he looked at me, and I said, "I agree." And his eyes got about that big. He's like, he was expecting me to say something. He asked me to agree in prayer. That's what it means to agree in prayer. Agree with it. Agree with what they said. The minute you start adding to, you put yourself into disagreement, like what they prayed wasn't good enough. Just to keep things simple. But it is really hard to get people into agreement. It's hard enough to get three people into agreement, but 500 into agreement? That's almost impossible. But Jesus is going to bring us into agreement. Says that one day we're all going to come together in the unity of the faith. That is going to happen. And I'm glad they put it like that, because we're not ever going to come to agreement in the unity of the doctrine. Nobody's going to agree on anybody's doctrine, but we will come to agreement in the unity of the faith. That is going to happen. Verse 20 says, "There am I." That's a clear reference to the omnipresence and the omniscience and the omnipotence of Christ among believers. Consequently, proof of his deity. He is there. See, some of the big churches, I've been in some pretty big ones, and they'd have prayer lines at the end of the church service, and they'd have people come up and pray, you know. And some of these people would show up, they were some serious issues that they wanted prayed for. And they needed help. So one thing that really bugged me a lot was, this guy would be here with a life and death situation, and we'd be praying for this guy, and there'd be three or four people back there talking about where they was going to go have coffee, where they was going to go have supper, or whatever they was going to do. And they'd be jabbering and talking, and then there'd be four or five over there, and there'd be five or six over there, and talking and talking. Well, we're up here calling on the name of Jesus, waiting for a manifestation of him to heal somebody. And these people are being a bunch of disrespectful little rats. Well, one day I just got tired of it, and they had their little prayer lines all set up, and everybody was there, and I just went up. I said, "Before we pray for anybody, I said, all you guys sitting back there, these guys are sitting here, some of them with life and death situations, and they are depending on a manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to show them and Jesus the respect that you would want if you were in their shoes. Now, if you just have to talk, go back to the coffee room and talk. If not, stay up here and agree with us in prayer. Even the pastor was shocked that I would say that. But honestly, it's respect, not only for the people that are getting prayed for, but for Jesus. You know, I know he can work in chaotic environments, but it's a house of worship. And somebody really depending on prayer, and there are five or six people gossiping about where they're going to go have supper or whatever they're going to do, that's not polite to begin with. Verse 17. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned unto the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So if you have faith, and you do have faith, and you doubt not, then this is an example of what faith can do naturally. We don't need to be moving mountains. We don't need to be running around trying to curse the fig trees and have them pulled up by the roots. I have cursed some loco weed. You know, that stuff is terrible. But, you know, David cursed a forest one time. He was chasing some of his enemies, and they ran into this forest, and he cursed that forest, and that forest never lived again. And that is David. He didn't have a new covenant like we have. He didn't have the name of Jesus, and he didn't have access to the Holy Spirit like we do. He had access, limited access, to that anointing, but he didn't have the full-blown access like we got. And if he could do that to a forest, we should be able to do that to some thorns. Goat heads would be a good start. But the thing of it is, Jesus gave us a really good insight on how this prayer of faith works. A lot of times when we pray, we start looking at the thing that we prayed over and looking at it and looking at it and waiting to see the results or waiting to feel the results. You know, it doesn't mention Jesus ever asking about that fig tree. Once he cursed it, it doesn't mention him looking at it or talking about it or wondering about it or anything. And in fact, the disciples had to remind him of that fig tree. They had to tell him, hey, that thing is dead. And then he said, yes, if you have faith and doubt not. Now, here's an important thing about having the right people in your circles. Sometimes you'll get attacked with something that may seem insurmountable. And it may be such sobbing pain that that's all you can think about. And you'll find yourself talking about it, how bad that thing hurts. It'd be a good idea for you to have a couple people that you can really, really trust in your circle that can stand in faith for you. Because here's the thing. They may be good friends of yours, but they don't live in the same house as you do. So they don't see the pain all the time. They don't feel the pain. They don't hear you. So it's a lot easier for them to stand in faith. They can stand in faith for you a lot steadier than if they see you crying or they see you screaming or see you hurting. How many of you have been around somebody that you really loved that had something really happened, really bad happened to them? Did you feel yourself shaken just a little bit? Of course. When something bad happens to somebody that you love, it shakes you up a little bit, doesn't it? And it seems like it's a little more of a challenge for you to stand in faith. Now, imagine that it's you that something bad happens to. That's going to get even more challenging to stand in faith. See, that's why it's important to have a couple people that you know will stand in agreement for you. Faith can do naturally a lot of things for us. Now, our mountain may be sickness, our mountain may be poverty, our mountain may be fear, our mountain may be any major challenge that we have to face. But Jesus told us that if we talked to that mountain and tell it to be removed, it will be removed. He didn't say anything about talking about our mountain. And the people all the time that talk about their mountain. And they've become so efficient at talking about their mountains that their mountains just they're like on steroids, you know, and you just seem like you can't hardly talk them off that mountain. And they'll get mad at you for trying to talk them off that mountain. It's their mountain. And they own it. And they're not going to let you talk to him off that mountain. And it's surprising to me how many Christians will cling to that mountain like it's some kind of a badge of honor for them to have cancer or poverty or whatever it is that may be attacking them. We don't need to be that way. God has given us liberty, and He's given us faith. And He's given us the keys to the kingdom of God. And He showed us how to use those keys. He gave us specific directions. He wrote them down for us. And He made them real simple. But sometimes we just won't pick up the tools that He's given us and use them. Smith Wigglesworth prophesied about the day and age that we're in for America. Said, at this day and time, for Americans, it was going to be hard for them to see miracles because there's so many choices. There's so many avenues you know, they can mask symptoms. You know, the doctors mask symptoms like crazy. But a lot of people just don't have, they're not in the position where that's all they've got is Jesus. You know, they got insurance and they got doctors and they do this and do that. So they miss out on a lot of miracles. I was fascinated with the missionaries that would go down into these third world countries and they'd have healing services, and these kids or these people would show up and they'd have cavities that they needed fillings for or caps. And these missionaries would ask these people, said, "Do you want silver or gold?" You know, in America, it's hard to believe for a toothache to go away. And these missionaries were asking these people if they wanted silver or gold. And they'd tell them. And they'd walk away with silver or gold fillings or silver or gold caps. Whatever it was they asked for, that's what they got. See, that's the kind of stuff that a lot of people are missing out on. Because there's so many options, so many avenues. Our creative faith mechanism in America has been broken for a long time. One of the problems is starvation is no longer an option. Did you know that? Somebody will feed you. Somebody will feed you. The government actually would rather have you give up so that they could feed you. That's the most dangerous place that you could ever put yourself in, is being dependent on the government. My uncle found five generations of welfare recipients. He went to a town to do a job there and found the fifth generation. For five generations, these people have been on welfare. Somebody's going to feed them. Somebody's going to take care of them. That's dangerous. Your creative, your God-given creative faith abilities inside of you just wither away when that happens. But in order for that mechanism to be kicked into gear, you have to get into an uncomfortable zone. You have to get out there where there's no definite answers anymore. Where you don't have a backup plan. It's either you're going to eat from the hand of God, or you're not going to eat. It's an incredible adventure. And until you've been through it, you won't understand it. But once you've been through it, then you truly understand that what the world has to offer is nothing like God has to offer. He's given you the key to the kingdom, and the kingdom of God is within you. Your answers are in here. Not in here. In here. The very core of your being. That's where the kingdom of God is. It's in there. And we can pray those up by praying in tongues. We have a deep well in there. We bring those waters forth by praying in tongues. It's an incredible adventure. And it's a fun one. It's not always the most comfortable one, but it's a fun one. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your words. And thank you for the word of faith that you've taught us. And we thank you, Father, that every day is an opportunity to use the word of faith and use what you've given us. Use your creative ability inside of us to create things that we haven't had before. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.